7 years ago, Seattle TV writer Melanie McFarland was depressed, seriously depressed.
I don't know if you ever saw Men in Black. And if you haven't, sorry, spoiler alert, there's one character in there who is walking around and he looks like a human being, but they discover that it's actually this tiny, tiny, tiny little alien piloting the meat suit. And that's kind of what depression felt like to me, just completely my body and my brain disconnected.
During the time McFarland felt like that, hardly anything broke through to the person beneath the meat suit. But this did.
This is your last chance to impress me and save yourself from elimination. The time has come for you to lip sync for your life.
That is a clip from the reality TV contest, RuPaul's Drag Race. In case you don't know, RuPaul is a famous American drag queen. His show pits drag queen contestants against each other in fashion and lip-syncing challenges.
It's like if America's Next Top Model and Project Runway had a baby and it was all drag queens.
Melanie McFarland told KUOW's Jeannie Yandel that RuPaul's Drag Race showed up at kind of a perfect time, while McFarland was pushing herself through another day at work.
Part of my job actually was sorting through video at work, and one of the videos I saw was for RuPaul's Drag Race Season 1, and it was coming through the feed. And so there are all these videos that we had to feature, but that one wasn't one of them. And so I would just watch these. I'd had two computer screens. I had the big one where I did my work, and then I had the other one where I had Drag Race up. And I was in a corner, so no one could see what I was watching. And I just remember there were a couple of times when RuPaul would say things about, even for the lip sync for your life, which, again, is part of the competition. The bottom two get to fight for the right to stay in by lip syncing to a particular song. And there was one that I remember in particular where RuPaul said, "This song in particular is very special to me. It helped me during the toughest times in my life." And it's Martha Wash's Carry On.
I stand alone in the eye of the storm. Crashes all around, trying to wear me down. But I hold tight to what I know is right. Still can hear the way Mama used to say.
Why did that resonate with you so deeply?
Well, first of all, if you listen to the lyrics, it's all about no matter what, in spite of whatever adversity, you carry on, you keep going. And so it was this very emotional lip sync for your life, which is very strange because this is a competition reality show. It's supposed to be the lightest, most, you know, ephemeral thing you could possibly watch. It shouldn't affect anything about, you should be able to really, like, you know, do mathematic equations and like split atoms while reality show is in on the background. It requires nothing. And yet here was this moment where this is a host who tied the emotional to this very basic reality competition act. And it was gorgeous. It was just a brilliant moment. But then from there, I also just kind of looked, and there were other elements in my life too, where I became very aware of the need to make the outside of my body look different than the inside felt.
You talked about it in a piece you wrote about this.
Yes.
You called it a sparkly facade, I believe.
Yeah, it was drag. I mean, that's one of the things he says, you're born naked and the rest is drag. But and it also went back to, like, there's this old Saturday Night Live character named Fernando from Fernando's Hideaway. And he'd say, "Darling, it's better to look good than to feel good." And the funny thing is, I think back on these, you know, the makeup I was putting on, and I'm sure it was in its own way just off, because again, I was still the alien in the meat suit. But it made me feel better, and it gave me more confidence, and it made me treat myself better.
Hmm. How did you know that that facade was actually helping you out in the world?
Because I could be out in the world for longer. And there's a sensation of depression. It's not just emptiness. I think for different people, it manifests differently. But for me, I really felt like there was a black hole in the middle of my body, like right where my stomach should be. Like I was just kind of sucking in the universe. And I felt that less and less. And I won't say that it's all Drag Race. It's not like that was my, you know, like TV Paxil. It wasn't. I mean, there were a lot of other things I did. But that was the one thing where I just said, okay, I'm going to look different than I feel. And that was a step.
At what point did looking different than you feel, when did that start reflecting the way you felt inside?
Yeah, I can't point to a specific time. I just felt more whole. I felt like I wasn't acting anymore. And part of it was just taking these things that I was imitating and just realizing that they were integrated into me. I didn't have to pretend to be the drag persona. You know, it's just like, I don't have to pretend to be fabulous. I am fabulous.
You said that Drag Race was not like your TV Paxil. It didn't fix everything. There
right.
were lots of other things that you did. Mm-hmm. But why do you think that that TV show was the thing that was able to help you, even in a small way?
I think it was several things. Number one, it was, as I said, it was the sparkle of it all. And watching people transform and be creative. And some of it was hearing the stories. Each of those contestants has a story coming there that is a story of endurance and heartbreak and overcoming. And, you know, I could see different elements of myself in a lot of these contestants. There's something to be said for a reality show that represents different parts of, like, almost the shadow self. And I think that's kind of what Drag Race does. There's the sunshine, but then there's like the shadow, but it's almost like putting rhinestones on the shadow and something else completely different coming out of it and beautiful.
How was your life different from when you first discovered that show and started watching it?
It's different in I made boundaries much more of a priority. And part of that, I think, comes from watching. Look, if you watch enough drag queens, the way they carry themselves, you don't want to step too close to them unless you're invited. And it's not to say that they're like, oh, unapproachable and evil, but there's a certain way what it's almost like they're channeling some sort of divine presence that you don't necessarily like that we're drawn to, but at the same time want to keep a respectable distance. And I think that if I integrated anything from Drag Race into myself, it would be that. I don't want to be unapproachable, but I have put up boundaries just to take care of myself. And I think that's led to a healthier life. It's led to a life of me being able to say no and move forward into a place where I can choose, make choices out of joy and satisfaction. And I feel like I have a life that's more of a life of exploration now than I did. But part of that is just, you know, getting out of that depression valley. If I hadn't found Drag Race, I might be saying the same thing for different reasons. But I do think it was helpful in that regard. And, you know, it makes me basically kind of walk through life a little taller, which is something that I can't say that I did before. And I wish I'd gotten more of that kind of Drag Race magic in my life earlier. Things would have been different, I think.
Seattle writer Melanie McFarlane. 7 years ago, the reality TV show RuPaul's Drag Race helped her climb out of terrible depression. And the show recently aired its eighth season and its 100th episode.